Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we thank you that just as Betty sang, Lord Jesus, that we can be safe in your arms. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed us today, another day upon this earth. And we ask, O Lord, that you would open our eyes that we may see you. Open our ears that we may hear you. And most of all, open our hearts to receive your word. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen and amen. Praise God, saints. You all have a sermon outline to follow with me in your bulletins. And what is the title of today's message? Praise God. And Bessie, I see her back there. So Apps for Life, today's topic is confession. And what did Pastor Rick begin us with? Does anybody remember? Forgiveness. And what was Pastor Toby's topic? Encouragement. So what will you all hear next week? All right. Look at you all. You're doing good. Praise God. So today's sermon series is about confession. And Pastor Rick, I remember when he began his sermon, he has a smartphone. And he came up here and showed us that nice smartphone. But my first confession of the day is that I am cell phone challenged. I don't care how much technology comes out. I still find it very difficult to work cell phones. Anybody with me on that? Some cell phones, I can't even figure out how to open them, let alone dial the phone number. So when the apps came out, I started getting real fuzzy. I started kind of going to sleep. I really didn't want to learn one more new thing about cell phones. But when these apps came out, I said, oh, here we go. How in the world am I going to figure out how to work these new buttons? You know how you got to scroll across the screen and up and down? I cannot figure it out. I am just a cell phone challenged person. So when these new cell phones came out, I always, when I'm trying to figure out something new, I have to compare it to something else. So when I was looking at these cell phone apps, and I was listening to Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby describe apps, I realized that apps really aren't very new. We have had apps all of our lives. We just used to call them the phone book. That's what we called our apps. We called the apps the phone book, or we called 411. Remember dialing the operator to get some information, or we may have called it word of mouth or something like that. So apps aren't new, it's just a new way of looking at something. But basically, all these apps do is what I figured out, is they provide us access to information. Now, saints, have you ever heard us described as the age of information, we that are living today? We have so much access to information. Most of us have a lot of access to information. But what I realize, saints, is that just because we have access to information does not mean that we will truly use that information, right? We can have all the information about restaurants. Every one of us know where McDonald's is, Raleigh's, Burger King, Wendy's. We know the information. We know where to get the food from, right? But none of that information will help us to stay on track with our diets. You know, we can have information about how to eat healthy. We all know about carrots and lettuce and celery and the nutritional value of it, but none of it will make us stay on track with our eating. We can have all of the information about a gym. How many of us have gym memberships, or you got a bike in your house, or you got one of them stomach master things you was watching late on late night television and you bought one? We can have all these applications to use, but it does not mean that we will actually stay on track and lose the weight, exercise, will it? Now, saints, all of us know the latest and greatest shops. How many of us have a favorite store to buy our shoes at, or our hats, or our dresses, or our suits? We all have these favorite stores that we like to shop at, but knowing about all of these stores will not make us keep our spending in order. We can know about every store under the sun, but it will not help us to stay on budget. We have to stay on budget, amen? I love that app on the cell phones. It's an app on there that will wake you up, an alarm clock. We all have the old-fashioned app, though. We all have the clock that sits beside our bedside. And we can set that clock every single night for the correct time, but that alarm clock itself cannot make us get out of the bed on time, will it? It would be nice if the alarm clock would kind of shake you a little bit, you know, actually physically pick you up and get you out of the bed. So we can have all of this information, saints, but it does not mean we will actually apply it to our lives. We ourselves have to be the ones that actually apply it to our lives. Because if we do not apply this information to our lives, it's just useless information. You see, saints, the Bible even told us about apps a long time ago. The Bible itself can be looked at as an app because it gives us all this information. We know all this stuff in the Bible, but if we do not put it into practice, just words, amen? Let's look at this scripture reading from the book of James, chapter 1. Let's read it together. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and forgets what he looks like. So you see, the book of James had it correct a long time ago. Knew that we had information, we had the words, we had the resources, but if we did not put it into practice or applied it to our lives, we were just deceiving ourselves, amen? So when we look at this application of confession, I want to say right off the bat that most of us are going to find today's topic a little difficult, including myself. You know, when Pastor Rick talked about forgiveness, it's real easy to say, okay, I'm going to go out and forgive somebody today. When Pastor Toby talked about encouragement, it's really, really easy to go out and say, oh, I can do that. I can encourage somebody right now. However, when we look at this topic of confession, many of us are going to just kind of stop right here. And we're going to say, okay, Pastor Kelly, that was all nice and dandy, but I'm not really going to do that when I get home today. You see, saints, when we think about confession, confession takes us on a real deep level. It requires us to open up and to really challenge ourselves to go deeper than we ever have before. But saints, the reality is that Jesus teaches us all that we all are required to confess. And the message of salvation, we do first. Pastor Toby describes it so well. She calls it the ABCs. We accept, we believe, then we confess. So all of this is practical information, but if we don't actually put it into practice, it is just words. So when we look at confession, many of us have heard of confession. We acknowledge confession, but do we really apply it to our lives? So we're going to look at, saints, three types of confession today. Now, we've all heard of the Catholic form of confession. Everyone is very familiar with the Catholics that go into their church, they go into a booth, they sit beside a priest, and they confess everything they've ever wanted to say in their lives. Amen? We've all seen that, right? So they all confess. They put everything out there. The priest says, you are forgiven, gives them some Hail Marys or something like that, and they have to say it about 10 or 20, 30 times, depending on the different sins. Then they come out of the box, go home, and all is well. Problem here is, only the priests have heard them, and they can go out and repeat the sin again. So we think, saints, that's the Catholic form of confession. We are Protestants, though. How do we confess? We don't have a little box that we can go in and talk to a priest. So what is our version of confession? Well, we got one up, saints. Ours is, we go to bed at night, we kneel beside the bed, we start praying, we talk directly to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I confess all of my sins. Now see, our version, we don't get any Hail Marys. In our version, no one has heard but us and Jesus Christ, unless someone else was listening in beside the door. But no one has truly heard what we have said except between us and God. So we say our prayers, we think we've been forgiven, we get up and we go on about our business, we get in bed, go on the next day, and guess what? We get to do the same things that the Catholic do. We get to repeat our sins all over again. So you see, here is the problem with both forms of confession. No one is truly holding us accountable to our confession. You know, in both types of confession, we have all heard of the word penance. Penance means that we ask for forgiveness when we know we have done something wrong. But the Bible encourages both Catholics and Protestants to go a step beyond penance, to go to repentance. That means that we confess our sins, we ask for forgiveness, and the third part is we don't do it again. That is the beauty about confession. When we're confessing something, we are saying, I'm sorry I did this, and I'm promising I won't do it again. So we have the Catholic view of confession. We have the Protestant view of confession. But let's look at the true view of confession, the biblical view of confession. Read this scripture with me from Numbers chapter 5. It says, the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and so is unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he has committed. He must make full restitution for his wrong, add one-fifth to it, and give it all to the person he has wronged. Let's look at this real close. Some details we want to point out. First is, when we're looking at confession, the Lord says, say to the Israelites. He makes a direct point here that I am talking to the church. You see, often we in the church, we get things mixed up. We take the Bible and the rules and the applications that the Lord has given to all of us, and we want to make it universal and apply it to the whole world. The Bible is not for the whole world, amen. It is for the church. And so today, if you're not a Christian, you got a release. Because sometimes, saints, we as Christians, we can take the Bible and try to beat it over another person's head when it is not for them. Until a person has actually received Jesus Christ into their hearts and accepted him as Lord and Savior of their lives, the rules don't apply. Have you ever noticed, saints, that the world does not try to apply Christian rules to them? You're not going to go to a club and they say, let's pray. It's not going to happen. You're not going to be out in the world and they're doing something wrong. They're going to break out singing a gospel hymn. It's just not going to happen. They don't try to take our rules and mix it in with their lives, and we shouldn't try to take their rules and mix it in with our lives. Amen. We are separate. When Jesus calls us out of the world, that is when the Christian rules begin to apply to our lives, saints. Now, I'm not saying that our Bible isn't good for the world. The world needs to take a look and hear what the Bible has to say to apply it to their lives. But when we really look at the word, it says, say to the Israelites. So here God is talking about the Israelites, the church. Then he says a little further, when a man or woman wrongs another in any way and is so unfaithful to the Lord, that person is guilty and must confess the sin he or she has committed. Must confess. Here it is. It's not in a box with a priest. It is not at the bedside on your knees. You are going to that person. It says, go to that person and confess. That's kind of deep, saints, when we think about it. Because how many of us have wronged somebody else? How many of us have actually gone to that person and said, this is exactly what I did wrong, and I'm sorry that I did it? Oh, good. We got a couple heads in the back. So the Lord is requiring of us to actually go to the person and confess the sin that we committed. Here's the best part, though. The person must make full restitution for his wrong and add one-fifth. Wow. How does that work, saints, when you've committed adultery? Do you go to your husband or your wife and say, I just committed adultery against you. I apologize to you. Now I need to make restitution. How do you make restitution for a husband? Do you say you get a new husband or a new wife And then you get to add one-fifth. That would be nice, I think, sometimes. If your husband or your wife have betrayed you, you get to go to them and say, I have wronged you, and I'm going to give you a whole new husband, a better husband than I am, plus one-fifth. How does it work, saints, when you've stolen something? And you've stolen less. Let's look at our corporate executives, saints, because sometimes they get a little slap on the knuckles. But when they've stolen $1 billion from us, do they have to come to us and confess and say, here's your $1 billion plus one-fifth? That would be nice. How does it work, saints, when you've committed murder? When you take someone's life, and do you go to that person, that the family, and say, here, I'm going to give you a life plus one-fifth? You see, saints, true confession requires something of us. And I think when the Lord put confession in place, it was so that the penalty would be so tough that we wouldn't dare do the sin. You see, saints, a lot of things would change if we truly began to confess. A lot of things in our lives would really change. You see, a person wouldn't be so quick to commit adultery if they knew right after they did it. Can you imagine that? You're in bed with somebody else committing adultery, and right after you finish, you got to pick up the phone and call your wife or your husband. What if we were compelled as Christians to really, really, as soon as we made the sin, as soon as we did it, we had to confess right then? It would change things with regard to how we treat our children, how we treat our families. You see, you wouldn't be so quick to make abuse or abuse your child if you knew right then and there, as soon as you abuse your child, you had to confess to the family, confess to the child, apologize, and then make restitution plus one-fifth. How different our lives would be, saints, if we would all truly begin to confess and take the application of confession seriously. But I know, saints, you're just like me. You're thinking, oh, God, really, he doesn't really want us to do all that. It's not really like that, Pastor Kelly. It's not that deep. Getting on our knees by the bedside is just enough. But, saints, when we look at the book of Numbers, we can see that I didn't make this up today. It's right there, waiting for us. It says, go to the person that you have wronged and confess the sin, and then make restitution for your wrong. It would be nice sometimes if we could just erase the parts of the Bible that we don't like or that we don't disagree, that we don't agree with, saints. But here it is right before us. The Lord is compelling us to confess that we are sinners, to confess that sin, and then make restitution for it. But I know you're still sitting there thinking, Pastor Kelly, we really don't have to confess like that. Or why should I go through confession like that when no one ever confesses like that to me? Haven't we felt sometimes that some people need to confess to us? They wronged us so bad, but they haven't said sorry to us. Well, saints, the Lord doesn't require other people to be involved in confession here. You see, when we confess, it's about us telling what we did, not about us pointing at the finger at what someone else did in our lives. But I know, again, saints, you're still sitting there thinking, but if I truly confess and tell all of my sins, all of my dirt, the world would hate me, or my family would hate me if I truly told all of what I did. You see, saints, some of us have done some sin that's so deep and so dark that we think that we're going to lose everything if anybody ever knows about what we did. Anybody ever felt that way? Many of us take the risk of losing everything if we confess. Some of us, in fact, will even take the risk of possibly going to jail. And you wonder, why should I do that? Why should I take that risk? Why would I lose everything upon this application of confession? Doesn't seem like it's worth it when we have to pay such a big price in our lives. But you see, saints, when we apply confession to our lives, many of us, instead of receiving suffering, we begin to receive our blessings. You see, we can't go further in God. We can't grow deeper. We can't become all that we have been called to be until we apply that last C in our lives of confession, to really admit that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, to really pour out all of those sins before the Lord and say, look at all I've done. You see, saints, when we look at the Bible, those that have truly confessed receive spiritual and eternal blessings. We only need to look at the example of King David. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba. How do we know all of this? Because he confessed. You see, saints, we can look at this story and say, oh, someone else told the story for David. But the details are too accurate for anyone but David to have told this story. You see, David tells us he was standing up on the balcony looking down at Bathsheba. How would we know that unless you were the confessor? David tells us that he was looking down upon Bathsheba and he saw her and he lusted after her. How would we know that unless he was the confessor? So David confessed his sin, and his sin was so deep and it went so far and vast, saints. And you would think that this man of God would have been taken from the top and thrown down into the dungeon. But the Bible says that God called David a man after his own heart. That after his confession, God didn't just walk away and abandon him. God began to bless him even further. Now, I'm not saying that David did not suffer consequences, because he did suffer some deep and serious consequences that even extended into his family. But when David confessed his sin, David went on and continued to be king. But we begin to see the results of his sin when we look at his son Solomon. Solomon, too, was not a perfect person. He, too, had to submit to the rules of confession. And he also began to confess about his sin in his life. But as these men of God and these women of God began to get deeper with God, they began to realize that confession is a part of the practice of the Christian faith. Confession is not a part that we enjoy, but it is a part that is required of us, saints. Anyone ever looked at Psalm 51? I love that psalm. It's called the Sinner's Psalm, the Sinner's Prayer. And in that psalm, it tells us, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of thy salvation. For you see, saints, we would think that when we confess that we're going to be immediately punished, that life will be forever different, that we will be taken from the top down to the depths of the bottom. But when we look at this psalm, Jesus is telling us, I'm waiting to create a clean heart in you. I'm waiting to renew your spirit. And I'm waiting to give to you the joy of salvation. Salvation. You see, that is the key, saints, because before salvation, there must be confession. The admittance that we are all sinners in need of a Savior. Now, when I started this message, I began by saying this is the one out of the whole series that all of us will struggle with. All of us will say, Pastor Kelly, that's good and all, but I probably won't apply that to my life. We will be like the scripture, and we will be deceiving ourselves, and we will be like men and women who looked in the mirror and saw our faces, but then after we left the mirror, we walked away and we forgot everything. So my question to you right now, and it's a little space right there on the outline, is, what will you do after this message? You see, saints, none of us in here are without sin. All of us have wronged someone else. We all are in need of confession right here today. Now we could take the time and we can actually write down the person that we need to really talk to right now. We can lean over and whisper in another ear and say, I want you to hold me accountable so that when I get up out of this seat, I won't leave it behind me. We can just sit real close to somebody and say, I need to confess about such and such. Or after I finish this message, you can come up and during the invitation and pray the confession and then actually go and talk to the person. But you see, saints, I say again, this application is a challenge to all of us. We are all hearing it. But will we actually do it? That is a question, saints, that only you can answer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we all know that sometimes it's not other people that is the problem, it's us. We all know the people that we have hurt, that we have wronged, but we have not actually gone to that person and said, I'm sorry. How can I make it up to you? Please forgive me. Gracious God, let us all receive your encouragement today. That you are not looking to punish us and to hurt us and to bring us down. That you're looking to draw us all closer to you. But before we can come closer to you, Lord Jesus, we all need to stop and truly confess. Confess the sins, Lord, that we have committed against you, ourselves, our families. And to really, Lord, receive your forgiveness, your true forgiveness. So gracious God, I pray right now, we all pray, that you do not allow us to get up from our seats without taking this with us. That we truly apply it to our lives so that we are not merely hearers of the word, but doers of your word. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray and we thank you and give you all the praise. It's in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And the people of God said, amen. And amen, saints. The doors of the church are open. As our lay pastors come forward and I come forward, we're going to sing the song, The Sinner's Prayer, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God. And I would pray that all of us would be running to make that confession so that we could be clean before God.